Do you want to focus more on your business and less on everything else? That's the eternal question, I think.
This is episode number 64 of DevOps Paradox. Do we really want to use serverless? Welcome to DevOps Paradox. This is a podcast about random stuff in which we, Darren and Victor, pretend we know what we're talking about. Most of the time, we mask our ignorance by putting the word DevOps everywhere we can and mix it with random buzzwords like Kubernetes, serverless, CI/CD, team productivity, islands of happiness, and other fancy expressions that make us sound like we know what we're doing. Occasionally, we invite guests who do know something, but we do not do that often since they might make us look incompetent. The truth is out there, and there is no way we are going to find it. P.S. It's Darren reading this text and feeling embarrassed that Victor made me do it. Here are your hosts, Darren Pope and Victor Farsa. So last week, Victor, we tried our attempt at a serverless 101 episode, our take on what a serverless 101 would look like. We talked the current managed functions, Lambda, Azure Functions, Google Functions, all GA, all very useful. The containers as a service, I don't like using that, and we didn't use that phrase before, but we'll call it that. The ECS Fargates, the Cloud Run, whatever the Azure one is. What was the Azure one?
Azure Container
something. Azure Containers, okay. GA-ish. Right, GA-ish. But now the question is, okay, you're so we see each other, so people listening, you can't see us, but he's nodding his head, sort of yes, no, maybe not really, but it's Thursday, so okay.
I mean, the reason why I'm saying is because I think that now we are in a phase where Kubernetes as a service in the big providers is a good and stable thing. Now, container as a service is a service on top of their Kubernetes. So kind of like if we just arrived to the point where Kubernetes as a service is a stable, good thing to do in the big three providers, then it's a logical conclusion, even if we don't know anything else, that container as a service must be, I don't know, like a year behind or 2 years behind, right? Just logically speaking, even if I know nothing about it.
And the only reason that I would choose containers as a service over Kubernetes today is if I don't want to run Kubernetes, right? That would be the only logical reason why I would potentially even do that.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, depends how you define if you don't want to run Kubernetes. If you mean literally, then I wouldn't agree. I would say if you don't want to deal with all the stuff that you need to deal, like networking, storage, monitoring, scaling, you know, all that stuff. So it's, yeah, you can call that if I don't want to run Kubernetes. It really depends how you define it.
Yeah, if you didn't watch one of our live streams a couple of weeks ago, we had a picture, and you may have seen it on Twitter. It was a sort of a Lego takeoff, and it was a bunch of bricks. And it was, hey, here's a stateful set brick. Here's a deployment brick. Here's a storage class brick, right? And it's like, here, look at all the fun you can have using Kubernetes, sort of doing a play on Lego at the same time. But it is, that's what Kubernetes is. It is a building block set of things. And you may not have the time to run it. You might still be using, if you're on AWS, you might still be using Elastic Beanstalk because that's just simple for you to use. This still gets us back to the point of, do we really want to use serverless, either as a function or as a container?
Let me rephrase that question. Let's forget about functions for a second. Let's say that the question is, do we want to use containers? And if you now make a kind of worldwide question, like just a simple one, do you feel that you should be using containers? I think that majority of people would say yes today. Not necessarily for everything, because there is a lot of legacy and stuff like that, but let's say for the new stuff that you're doing, would you use containers? The answer is overwhelmingly, I think, today, yes. We might be fighting whether it's Docker, whether it's Kubernetes, whether it's this or that, but only container, almost everybody sees value in it. We all interpret that value in different ways, in different technologies. But container is a container, I think it's a given today. So if you assume that what I just said is correct, then the next question is, do you want to use containers alone, or do you feel that, or are you doing something more serious that requires scheduling of those containers? And then we are entering into the story of Swarm, Kubernetes, and all those things. And most people also, maybe a bit fewer number of people, but significant numbers say, yes, I need some kind of those containers to run on a cluster level. It's not one server anymore, right? And that's how we got to Kubernetes. And then the next question is, do you want to bother with Kubernetes? And then we got Kubernetes as a service, right? Kind of let Google run my Kubernetes cluster. And then the next question is, do you want to bother with all the stuff that you need to set up around your applications, like scaling, for example, networking and all those things? It's kind of like it's each question opens the next question, and each of those next questions is about, can I remove more from my plate of the things that are not really related to my business? That's how I interpret it, right? And now we have those two approaches. Now I'm coming back to functions and containers. We have those two approaches. Is, do you want to give me source code, or do you want to give me container image? Because guess what? When you do run function as a service, you are running a container. Just to clarify, kind of like, it's a container. Maybe not Docker container. Maybe it's directly my mind stopped. The thing in Linux. Doesn't matter.
LXC?
Yeah, exactly. But some form of containers is used. I can guarantee you that for every single implementation of serverless functions in this case. So it's always a container. The real question is, do you prefer to give somebody source code or a binary, let's say, like, you know, jar, or you prefer to give a container image? That's a real question. And depending on that choice, the implementations are different, right? Like, for example, if you give me source code, each request to that something is going to be an instance. If you give me a container image, then maybe I can actually give you up to 1,000 requests per instance, right? More control, more optimization, potentially more complexity, if you're talking about containers as a flavor of serverless. Yeah, what I really wanted to say is that I see two groups of people going towards function as a service and people going towards containers, which might end up on serverless side of that, depending on how much, which of those many layers are mentioned they want to give away to somebody else.
Right. Because from a container as a service, those are persistent running things. They're always running, right?
No.
Container
as a service can be nothing is running if there are no requests.
ECS Fargate does work that same way. I'm yes. Still stuck with it. I'm still thinking ECS EC2, which there is always running. So that's different.
There is always if it's a container as a service in the context of serverless, because I guess that somebody might think that container as a service is something else. When there are no requests, it's nothing. When there are requests, there's something. One of the major differences is that unlike function as a service, where one instance is associated with one request, with container as a service, one instance might be associated with one request or 1,000 requests, depending on what you choose.
Right, because you could have a cooldown period of an hour. And anything that comes in within that hour keeps it alive for another, the clock, the reset clock happens, right? It's not like, so if you go extreme and you think, if you go back to the old Perl CGI days to where every request was there was a one-to-one mapping. It ran, it was done. There was no reuse at all. But now, even with function as a service or container as a service, you can have this cooldown period.
Exactly. If there are no requests for 15 minutes or 1 minute, then shut it down completely, right? Or things like that.
So that way, if something goes completely dormant, you're not spending money-ish. You're still spending a little bit of money, but you're not spending as much.
But now here comes, I think that this is an interesting point, is so when you have a huge load on a single service, function from one perspective, you might say, I don't care really, because I have a million requests per second. It's AWS job to spin up a million instances, right? Kind of, it's not my problem anymore. But in a way it is, because their costs reflect your costs, right? So if I have sporadic requests, I would say that function is a better choice, right? But if I have more than sporadic requests to something, then container with that flexibility to choose, I can handle up to 10,000 requests, concurrent requests, is a much more cost effective, because you are ultimately paying for it one way or another. Kind of, it's not really free.
Yeah. So the catch with it is, let's say you have 1,000 endpoints, and of those 1,000 endpoints, 900 of them, not even that. You have 1,000 endpoints, but 5 of the endpoints are your really hot endpoints. Those are the ones taking all the traffic all the time. So those 995 endpoints are at least candidates for moving towards function as a service. It doesn't mean that they should, but they're a candidate.
Yes.
But those 5, now, those 5 still could be kept separate. You could have 5 different services at that point. It could be a function. And because they're running all the time, it's probably never, once it starts up, it's never going to shut down. Or it's a container as a service, or it's more traditional. You've just got instances running there. Because your pricing is going to burn you at some point. Just like how we've talked about, you're on-prem, you move to the cloud, you see a cost savings. You're lazy and you don't manage your spend in cloud well, and you finally figure out it's going to be cheaper for you to come back on-premise. You're going to go through that same bell curve of spend with functions as a service if you're not careful.
Exactly. It's like, I don't know if you remember, a while ago we had Carlos as a guest, and I think that he said the sentence that I'm paraphrasing, that cloud providers are actually earning money from the things you don't use. Now, I would actually rephrase. I would say that they're earning money for you misusing services, either by not shutting down or using the wrong service. Because you chose everything should be a function, or nothing should be a function, right? Either of those two choices is actually where they are earning money. If you make a bad choice, if you make suboptimal choice.
Well, and this is the problem. Maybe we can go back to Twitter for just a minute. Way back when, or initially, if I remember the story right, Twitter was fully Ruby on Rails. But then at some point, they had to peel off parts of it because Ruby on Rails was not performing as well as something else. They needed to scale. It worked great up to a point. There was an inflection, and then they needed to replace. Otherwise, Justin Bieber couldn't have 5 racks of servers to support him or whatever his crazy number was. Just because you make the decision today that this is the right decision, don't be surprised that your decision becomes wrong later on, because you may prematurely optimize, which may cause more spend, and then it's like that's giving you heartache. But the thing about it is you may have prematurely optimized, but eventually when that inflection point hits, you would quickly see, well, crap, if we wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't be able to handle that thundering herd because we got featured on the front of TechCrunch or something else.
And that's what leads me at almost the beginning of this conversation, is that containers can hardly ever be a bad choice if what you're doing potentially can run on an operating system that supports containers. It's very hard to find a use case where that is a bad choice. Kubernetes might be a bad choice, right? So let's not associate Kubernetes with containers. Packaging something as a container and running it as a container in whichever form, there are many forms, right? It's hardly a bad choice. Kubernetes could be. Nomad, definitely. ECS, right? Kind of things above, yes. Depends on the use case. But package as a container, that's almost always a good use case. And that now then leads me to why I have a strong preference towards containers as a service, function as a service. Because I believe that container images are the common denominator that works in most of the cases. There are very few such common denominators, but container images are one of those. And then you choose, do you want to run this container as directly on a VM, right? Docker run. Do you want to run it with Compose? Do you want to run it with Kubernetes? Do you want to run it as serverless, right? OpenFaaS or Cloud Run, right? So many choices. Can be many choices, and we can have a long debate, which would always end up with depends, right? But container is a good common denominator. And that's why I like container as a service over function as a service, even if I'm going to have a function.
Right. Because I could still produce the underlier, as what we were saying before, even if you just give provider X a zip file with your code, they are still going to containerize it in some way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
We don't know what it is. We really don't care because it just runs. But if I'm able to just give them the image, there's no question about what is happening under the hood. This is my runtime.
Exactly. This is Node.js that I want. Not the one you choose. Not the one I don't know. This is what I want. Now I can be, you can say that I'm kind of not maybe advanced enough and kind of, but this is the level of control, the division that I think it makes sense. I choose what is my application, including the runtime. You make sure it's running.
Right. So this is, I actually have an example of this is a friend of mine's company. They have been running on Elastic Beanstalk for quite a while, and they've been using the Python flavor of Elastic Beanstalk. And specifically the 3.4 version of Python on Elastic Beanstalk. Now, if you know anything about Elastic Beanstalk, that runtime is being tombstoned soon, like sometime in 2020 being tombstoned. I can't remember exactly when. Let's say it's the end of the year. What if we were just to change that Python app into a Docker container, and then I could still stick on Elastic Beanstalk for now. I don't care. It doesn't really matter. But I'm running the Docker flavor of it, and then I don't have to worry about upgrading from 3.4 to something else. You know, it's a stopgap. It's should we still be on 3.4? No, we shouldn't still be on 3.4. It's been dead for 3-4 years. Right? Different conversation, but as a stopgap to get me over the line so I don't get impacted crazily, then it's worth doing. So container is still the right answer.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's basically level of control you want to give away. That's the major question.
So do we really want to use serverless? The answer is yes.
Sometimes.
Well, hang on a second. I believe the answer is always yes. But you may not want to use functions as a service, that specific implementation of serverless. What we're saying is we like the container as a service. That, to us, that is serverless in its purest form, right? A Docker image spun up as a container is the pure, because that is massively portable.
Exactly. It's and it avoids quite a few nested things, like I don't have to write my function or application in a certain way. It can be anything I want. I don't want you to tell me you need to write this and that, right? Kind of, it's whatever I want. You don't decide what it is. And that avoids certain level of vendor locking, right? There is always vendor locking, let's clarify. But it's my image. I build it as I want. You run it. And if I don't like you tomorrow, somebody else can run it. I don't care. It's still a container image, common denominator. And that's very, very powerful.
Okay, but maybe I still like you, but I also want to have these other players available as well. Maybe let's play out this scenario here. I'm going to use Cloud Run on Google. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use EKS on AWS. And I'm going to go to DigitalOcean and use what Docs, D-O-K-S, or whatever their Kubernetes service is, right?
Yeah.
And then I pick a fourth party, since I picked three, a fourth party that does global traffic load balancing across those three providers. So wherever you are, I don't remember DO's footprint, but maybe DO is setting over in EMEA. And they have DigitalOcean, again, I'm making stories up right now. DigitalOcean has the best GDPR and the most compliant and everything else. And I know if I go with DigitalOcean over there, I'm not going to have any problems. Exactly. But what I don't want to have to do is set up three different applications and manage them all separately. I want my one control plane. It gets deployed out to all the places, no matter what flavor it is. It's just a Docker image to me. Now, my implementation might be different. I'm doing a Helm upgrade on EKS. I'm doing whatever the command is for Cloud Run on Google, and I'm doing probably a Helm upgrade on DigitalOcean over in EMEA. So having just containers, I'm not having to rewrite my app to run in multiple providers. Not that I'm upset with the provider. It's building in some business risk mitigation that I don't have to think about. Now, the back ends of those things, it's a different conversation. Okay, where do you keep your back end? I don't care. That's different. We'll let that set somewhere else.
Yeah. But even backends are still a similar story, right? I would always choose, you want some kind of compatibility or some form of standard. Like if you give me my Postgres API, and it's important that I said API, I don't really care whether you're running Postgres or you have home-baked something. I really don't care. I just care that from my application, it is Postgres or whatever I chose, right? And then you figure out if you can do better than running original Postgres, go ahead. That's okay, right? Kind of, it's your problem. I don't mind that with providers. And that's why this whole story is important, is that how the way we are evolving, more and more standards are being established. And software vendors or service vendors are competing on top of those standards with additional value, right? That's a general story how the world works for a long time, right? And today that common denominator is container. And slowly becoming, not slowly, or becoming Kubernetes. We're going to see that actually. But yes, we can say Kubernetes is also becoming that common denominator. And this brings me to the important thing, and this is now placing a bet, right? As if I'm buying a lottery ticket with a small chance to win, right? But I think that the next common denominator, and this is related to serverless, would be Knative. Google adopted it, and I believe that Azure is going to adopt it, and I know for quite a few others are adopting it. So next level might be in a serverless story is that not give me a container, but here is a Knative YAML. Run it. Because right now, if I go to, let's say, AWS, yes, I give a container image to everybody. That's clear, right? But now there's still auto-scaling policy, right? Oh, it's like this here, it's like that, kind of like different definitions. There is a bunch of other stuff that I need to give to AWS or Azure or whom not. We will get to the next level, and that will be whatever is the common denominator, and then one less thing that is different between those. And they will figure out new stuff to compete with.
So today's world, July 2020, it's a container. Do I really want to use serverless? Absolutely, I want to use serverless. I could, hey, if I never had to run kubectl again, it wouldn't hurt my feelings, right? I don't want to, or I don't want to run AWS ECS, right? I just want to be able to do, today's world, I want to be able to do, I'm willing to do Helm upgrade, and I'm willing to do whatever the version of that is for something else.
At least you as, let's say at least 95% of people in a company, there is that maybe 5% that care a lot about things that majority of people don't know, and they're going to measure differences in performance, you know, do funky stuff. That, but for vast majority of people in a company, kind of, well, here you go.
Yeah, go run. Again, it all comes back to the Heroku model. Here's my code, go run it.
Yes.
Right. What's funny to me right now is everybody's basically trying to reinvent what Heroku has been doing for years, what our company did for a number of years, what a bunch of other companies did for a number of years as platform as a service. We're trying to get back to platform as a service, which is what we haven't really said.
Yes, we are. But there are, you know, world, our industry is full of Herokus. Yeah. That you have a good idea, but the technology or the market is not ready for your idea.
Right.
I mean, I could say that Docker is in the same boat as a company as Heroku, right? Brilliant idea. Never seen before. Failed to be the thing.
Right. And I doubt that Heroku would have still, I doubt Heroku would still be alive, at least at the point that it's at right now, if Salesforce would not have picked them up.
No.
So do we really want to use serverless? The answer is yes. How do you want to do it? It's your choice. Our opinion today, July 2020, is you probably want to stick with a container to give you best portability from desktop to serving your end users.
Let me rephrase your question when you said you want this or that.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Do you want to focus more on your business?
Yes.
And serverless is just one of the ways. There are many others. Kind of. Do you want to focus more on your business and less on everything else? That's the eternal question, I think.
And by the way, if your answer is no, I want to focus on the technology, and you're not working at a technology company, you need to go get a new job. Because yes. The correct answer is, do I want to help my business? Because, by the way, as much as we like to think of ourselves as technologists, in the vast majority of companies, we are cost centers. We are not generating revenue for the company. We are overhead, just to put it bluntly. So if you want to care about the technology, that's great. If your company allows you to care about it, that's great. But if you think that technology is going to get a bigger budget ever than marketing, you're fooling yourself. Did I say that out loud? Or was that my inside voice?
You said it aloud. Okay. It was good.
Okay. That's usually your thing to do, but okay. So one final thing, one final statement. Do we really want to use serverless? Yes, we want to use serverless. Is it always going to work? No. There are use cases to where it doesn't make sense today, as we've defined it. Now, next week, we have a guest coming on. Now, I'm not going to talk any more about it, but we have a guest coming on that's going to be interesting that you may want to listen to. Actually, let me rephrase that. You will want to listen to.
Can I rephrase it?
If yeah, you did come go ahead. To the just end of, take over.
If you got to the end of this episode, that means that you want to listen to that guy. If you wouldn't want to listen, then you wouldn't get this far. You're not listening to us already. You're somewhere else.
We hope this episode was helpful to you. If you want to discuss it or ask a question, please reach out to us. Our contact information and a link to the Slack workspace or at devopsparadox.com/contact. If you subscribe through Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a review there. that helps other people discover this podcast. Go sign up right now at devopsparadox.com to receive an email whenever we drop the latest episode. Thank you for listening to DevOps Paradox.